John 15:8 and 7 and 8 has been up on our hearts. Dina, I think, I'm not sure if you have those, but do we have those, by the way? I sent that to you earlier. No, there you are. Look at you. You're always on it. These two verses, because the holidays or the Sundays are falling right after the holidays pretty close, and we know next week some people might be gone. We're doing a little bit of the New Year stuff right now, but this is quite a focus for us right now. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Such a powerful dynamic of the combination of God's word and our walking in the Spirit, his word working in us, and us then activating that in prayer. That's such a powerful promise. And then verse 8 is the bada bing for us. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. That verse right now, and it's really, this will be next year and the year after and the year after, I'm sure. That's one of those verses. But the glory of God is of central concern to us, not only in El Dorado, but all over the earth. And this verse tells us how God is glorified. He's glorified by disciples who bear much fruit, is how it'll say. He's not glorified by just believers kind of hanging in there and hoping. You know what I mean? He meets us in our weak state. I just said that. But he wants to get us to a place where we're bearing much fruit. And this context, most will believe, is clearly about grapes on a vine that then have seed that make more vines, okay? So the fruit bearing is really the advancement of the kingdom and mission into people's lives and seeing disciples made. And so we're very locked in on 15:8, willing to throw anything out that we're doing that's not locked in on maximizing the glory of God all over the earth in our city and our neighborhoods by this process of making disciples who bear much fruit. And so that's going to take some intentionality. I have you up here and you don't have any idea why I do, but Amy and I were spending an hour this morning talking and thinking about this process. I just wonder if you want to say anything about that.
Well, what comes to mind is I was telling him I'm not a very good organic housekeeper. I really have to have a plan, and I've got to be really purposeful about it, or it does not happen. And so we were just talking about the goals of evangelizing and the different things that are in our hearts. And like today, I have a party. I'm supposed to bring a dessert, but I'm not really a baker. I'm just going to say it. I'm not a baker. And I want to go buy a cake and bring it to that party so badly. But if I were a practice baker, that would not, wasn't what I had planned, but if I had really done that and practiced it and been obedient to bake more often with mom or whatever needed to happen, then I wouldn't even have to think so hard about it today. I would just bake my cake and go. So my point was, let's make a plan. Let's make ourselves, even if just so I can check it off my list, I'm going to go down and just harass my neighbors and evangelize until I'm good at it. You know, that's kind of what I was saying. I want the freedom to have, this makes no sense.
Yes,
but
it
I want,
does. No, it does.
I want the You're freedom to have a list that I want to check off as I get trained and getting better at doing those things I'm not very good at.
So we would say that we never worry about this group being legalistic. I mean, seriously, it's just funny to say out loud. This is the most non-religious, I mean, to a fault. And so what we would worry about is being religious and legalistic about never having discipline. And so saying that, we are offering this evangelism practicum. And you've heard me give a couple spiels. I'm going to give one more. Give me just a couple minutes. And I know some of you are contacting me and saying, I'm in. But we're challenging you to think about the process of intentionally committing to a group of people and to some mentoring process in the process of evangelism. We need to do this about prayer, worship, baking, housekeeping, whatever it be. We want this activity. But listen, the church can be a place where we do a lot of lecturing and not a lot of hands-on practicing. That's why we use the phrase a lot, lab time. We like to do lab time after we do teachings because we want you to do what we're talking about. You can just sit after lecture and never do. And so we're just encouraging you to think about this deal of a model of action, get some equipping. It's so simple to share the gospel. There were no conferences or evangelism books in the book of Acts, and they spread the gospel everywhere because they're filled with the Spirit and they know the simple story of Jesus. And so we've been foxed out of that freedom. And let me just say this again. I'm hearing the counsel from the church in the East who is confronting the church in the West with around things like friendship evangelism and really the value that we're trying to still earn the right after weeks, months, and years with somebody to share the gospel with them. And their point is this: they believe Jesus earned the right when he died on the cross and rose from the dead for you to share the gospel with anybody. And so praise God for relationship. Do relationship. We're not anti that for evangelism. But there needs to be some more intentional sowing for us to ever learn that. Many I know go, gosh, I wish I could evangelize better. And really, you're never going to go over that hump unless you literally do it. If I was to give you a ticket and send you to a mission school about evangelism, you know what they would do, right? If it was a real mission school. They teach you about the gospel, show you gospel sharing stories in the Bible, then they'd send you out on the street to do it. And so there's no learning, we think, in reality, the way God designed us, without doing it. And so we're encouraging you to do this. We are challenging some people, and we're not going to get legalistic about the numbers, to share the gospel 12 times in the next 3 months. That's once a week. To keep a journal about that, to have dialogue about that, for us to talk as a family about how we do mission. Because I'll say again, I don't understand how this meeting makes any sense unless we're all out on mission. I don't get it. More and more, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get how us coming and we sit and we do Christianity for an hour and a half and you go back to your normal life, that's not normal Christianity. And so we just want to encourage you to think about activating. You may get a different leading than this, but either way, hear the principle. Would you begin in discipleship to enter into accountability that would train your heart and train obedience in your life? Okay, and so we want to encourage that. I need it. I've told people, I'm not a natural evangelist. My brother shares the gospel with everything that moves. Every patient that comes in, he was telling stories over in Wichita last night. Now he's got his nurse doing it, you know, and she's sharing the gospel. He's more naturally does that. I don't as much. I love the gospel, but I don't think about it as much. So I love the accountability. The best times of evangelism in my life ever have been when I've been in accountability about that. So consider this really in the larger thing of being in the process of discipleship as we walk this out. Nice baking testimony. Oh, wow. And you're pretty. That's good. Thank you. That's good.